If you have your Bibles today, and I want you to get them, please, I'd like for you to open your Bibles with me to three portions of Scripture. We shall read, first of all, from Romans, the 10th chapter, and then I want to read from Mark, the 11th chapter, and then finally I want to read from Proverbs, chapter 6. Now then, let's read the verses in that order. First of all, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, or thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, we read, For verily I say unto you, and this is Jesus speaking, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Then I want to read the verse from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2, Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken captive with the words of thy mouth. A spiritual law too few of us realize is our confessions rule us. When we use the word confession, people instinctively think of confessing sin. And the Bible does say in 1 John 1:9, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But this is the negative side of confession. The Bible has much more to say about the positive side of confession. That is the confession of our faith. The verses that we read from Romans, let's notice them again. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now notice, this does not refer to confessing sin. This is confessing Jesus. In his heart man believes, and with his mouth he confesses that Jesus is Lord. The verse there in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 said, Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken, in other words, captive, so to speak. I think one translation reads that way. Thou art taken captive with the words of thy mouth. Now, what we say is our confession, and our confessions, the words we say, rule us. Jesus said, and let's look at it again, Mark 11, 23, Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, let's meditate on these words of Jesus a little more. Whosoever shall say, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, did Jesus know what he was talking about? Or are these just the words of an irresponsible dreamer? No. They are not the words of a dreamer. They are the words of the divine Son of God. Jesus meant exactly what he said. And what did he say you will have? He said, you will have what you say. Notice that. Latter part of that verse. He shall have whatsoever he saith. If you really believe a thing in your heart, positive or negative, and you say it with your mouth, you will really have it. Jesus said you would. It's always with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto any of the provisions of God. Notice how these two phrases from God's Word say the same thing in different words. For instance, Romans 10:10, with the mouth confession is made unto. Mark 11:23, He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or, as the margin reads, let us hold fast our confession. The same Greek word translated profession here is translated elsewhere in the King James as confession. Modern translators, or translations, render it confession. Let us hold fast our confession. Christians are told here to hold fast to our confession. Now, what is the confession that we're to hold fast to? The confession we are to maintain. It is the confession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the confession of our faith in God our Heavenly Father, the confession of our faith in the Word of God. The majority of Christians, though sincere, are weak. This is because they never really dared confess what God's Word says about them. They have never dared confess that they are what the Bible says they are, that they who the Bible says they are. In other words, that they are what the Bible says they are, that they are who the Bible says they are, and that they have what the Bible says they have. In fact, many Christians maintain a wrong confession instead of holding fast to a right confession. Now, what is a wrong confession? A wrong confession is a confession of defeat, of failure, of the supremacy of Satan. They're always talking about what a time they're having with the devil, what a battle they're having, what all they're going through, how the devil is keeping them from success, keeping them sick, how the devil's holding them in bondage, and so on. And as long as they talk like that, according to what Jesus said, that is what they're going to have. I know folks wouldn't do it if they really knew what they were doing, but that kind of confession is an unconscious declaration that God, our Father in heaven, is a failure. Now, God is not a failure. Defeat is not of God. When you talk about defeat, you're talking about the works of the devil. God did not intend that the church should be defeated. He said that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church, Matthew 16:18. Well, if the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, well, that just simply means that Satan cannot prevail against the church. Now, the Word of God teaches us, you notice here, Jesus said, Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Then here in Hebrews 4:14, again we're told, let us hold fast our confession. Well, you see, someone said that confession is three things. That it is affirming something that we believe, that it is witnessing for a truth that we have embraced, that it is testifying of something that we know. Now, faith demands expression and testimony. Testimony is a part of the faith life. If you want to develop a robust faith, then continually tell what the Lord is doing for you. The more you talk about it, the more real he becomes to you. The less you talk about it, the less real. Faith is like love. It is of the heart, the spirit. And like love, it lives and finds its joy in the continual confession of it. In the natural, the more a husband and a wife confess their love for each other, the more it grows. If you'll notice carefully the life of Jesus, you'll find that from the beginning of his public ministry until he is led to the cross, he is ever confessing who he is, what he is, and his mission in life. For instance, he said, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father, John 16:28. Now, this was a fourfold confession. It covers his life, from the incarnation to the ascension. One of the boldest confessions Jesus made was, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." John 14:9. What a bold confession. If you want to see the Father, look on me. Then in John 12 it is recorded that he said, "He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Verses 45 and 46. Let me say it again. Jesus constantly confessed who he is, what he is, and his mission in life. Yes, someone might say, but that was Jesus. I know. And the Bible teaches that Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. You should constantly be confessing who you are. Oh, no, not who you are physically, the son or daughter of John Doe who lives on such and such a street. No, but who you are according to the Word of God. That's the confession we're to hold fast to. For instance, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Verse 16, "The Spirit itself, or himself, bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." We are children of God, sons of God. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We joyfully confess our relationship with God. And in what way we are related to him. We are born of God, children of God. He's our very own Father. We are his very own children. We dare to take our place as sons and daughters of God and confess that's who we are. Faith demands expression and testimony. Now, so many times, people often ask me about studying the Bible. And although I have many suggestions, here is the one I present above all others everywhere I go. Now, my thought is this. Find out what God's Word says about you and make that your confession. As a Christian, as a believer, read through the New Testament. Primarily the epistles. The epistles, you see, are the letters written to you, the believer. They're written to the church. As you read, look for all expressions such as in Christ, in him, in whom, through him, and so on. With a colored pencil, underline these expressions. You will find most of them in the epistles. Some of these, however, don't exactly tell you something you have in Christ. For instance, Paul greeting in one epistle is, "I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." That has the expression "in Christ," but it doesn't tell you anything that's yours because you are in Christ. You will also find other scriptures which convey the same message, but do not use the specific phrases "in him" and so on. Yet they tell you who you are, or what you have, because you are in Christ. Now, when you find these scriptures, write them down. Then meditate on them. Begin to confess them. Begin to say with your mouth, "This is who I am, and this is what I am, and this is what I have in Christ." For you see, faith's confessions create realities. As far as God is concerned, everything you have or are in Christ is so. He has done it. Everything the Bible says is ours legally. The Bible is a legal document, sealed by the blood of Jesus. However, it is your believing it and your confessing it which makes it a reality to you. God wants us to enjoy and know the reality of what he has provided for us. And his word tells us how to do it. As an example, we see that God has provided the new birth for us. And his word tells us how that provided salvation becomes real to us. Even though we sometimes talk like this, "God saved so-and-so last night," We know that from God's viewpoint, he didn't just save that person the previous night. He saved him when Jesus was raised from the dead. The man just accepted his salvation last night. And the redemption God has provided years ago became a reality to him. Hebrews 9:12, notice, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Jesus never has to do that again. He's already done it. The provision has been made. And Romans 10:10 tells us how we obtain the reality of salvation in our individual lives. Romans 10:10, look at it again. Read the verse again. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is always with the heart that man believes, and with his mouth he makes his confession unto. When you believe a thing in your heart and confess it with your mouth, then it becomes real to you. Faith's confessions create realities. As you read some of the in Christ, in him, in whom scriptures, they won't seem real to you. It may not seem as though you really have what these scriptures say you have in him. But if you will begin to confess with your mouth, because you do believe God's word in your heart, this is mine, this is who I am, this is what I have, then it will become a reality to you. It is already real in the spirit realm, but we want it to become real in this natural, physical realm where we live in the flesh. So remember, as you find these scriptures, to do these five things. Write this down. Now, don't forget it. Number one, underline each scripture. Number two, write it down. Number three, meditate on it. Now, one writer brought out that in the Hebrew, the word meditate means to mutter. In other words, mutter these scriptures to yourself and then make a bold confession of it. Confess it out loud. And then five, begin to say it with your mouth. Say it out loud. Confess it. Now, notice, let's talk about some of these in him realities. Again, we'll look at Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now here's the confession you're to make. I believe in my heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he was raised from the dead for my justification. I confess him as my Lord and Savior. Jesus is my Lord. He is dominating my life. He is guiding me. He is leading me. Of course, the first confession we must make is the confession of Jesus as our Lord. Being born again, becoming the child of God, is the key which unlocks all God's provision and promises to us. Public confession changes our lordship. It defines our position. The confession of the Lordship of Jesus immediately puts us under the care, under the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our shepherd. We have confessed him as Lord, so we can go a step further and confess him as shepherd. The 23rd Psalm now belongs to us. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, you know, in John, the 10th chapter and the 14th verse. I wake up in the morning sometimes confessing, the Lord is my shepherd, I do not want. I do not want for ability. I do not want for strength. I do not want for money. I do not want for anything. The Lord is my shepherd. Now here's another good in him scripture. Acts 17, chapter 28th verse. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Now here's the confession that we are to make. In him I live and move and have my being. What a vast storehouse of power. In Christ my Savior and Lord I have life, energy, strength for the impossible task. Then in John, the 15th chapter, first part of the 5th verse, He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Seventh verse, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now here's the confession that we are to make. I abide in him. I live in him. He is the vine. I am the branch. The vine is in the branch, and the branch is in the vine. His life, the life of God, is in me. His nature, the love nature, is in me. Just as blood flows through my natural body, his life flows through my inner man. I will let that life and love dominate me. You see, friends, when one is born again, he comes into Christ. This is the only way you can get in him. Then Jesus said, if my words abide in you. Abide means to live. His word lives in me to the extent that I practice it. Many Christians are born again and in him, but his word is not abiding in him or in them. That's why prayer doesn't work for them. The word abides in me in the measure I practice it. I may memorize it, quote it, even preach it without it living in me. That word lives in me only to the measure I practice it. I let that word have free course in me, teaching me, governing me, dominating me. I let that word take the place in my life I would Christ if he were here in the flesh. And then my favorite in Christ scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now you see, this verse has that expression in it, in Christ. You will find as you study, we'll not have time to look at all of them. I'm just going to give you a sample scripture and get you headed the right direction and let you go. But now you will find a number of such scriptures in the New Testament that has that expression in it, in Christ. In fact, you'll find 27 or 30 of them or so. And then you'll find the text in him and in the beloved and in the Lord and in whom and by Christ and by him. By himself and by his blood and by whom and from whom and of Christ and through him and with Christ and with him and by me and in me, in my love, in his name. And look all of these scriptures up.